From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the third day of March, 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He's in Newmarket, Indiana. And later in the program, we'll hear the final part of our series on the federal government's new acre program. In agricultural news, a European committee has approved anti-dumping duties on imports of biodiesel from the United States. Brazil wants the WTO to levy $2.5 million in sanctions against the U.S. for its cotton subsidies. And Senator Byron Dorgan from North Dakota has added his voice to those opposing the proposal to eliminate direct payments to farmers with more than $500,000 in gross sales. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories shortly. And then, just after the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Don Day will join us for a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. So stay with us for this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL Public Radio from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby March soft red winter wheat, 4.5 cents lower to settle at $4.90 and a quarter. May at 5.01 and 3 quarters, down 4 and a quarter. In July wheat, down 4 and a quarter at 5.13 and 3 quarters. March in Kansas City for the hard red at 5.38 and 3 quarters, 2 cents lower. March corn futures unchanged today at 3.43 and a half. The May 3.50 and a half, a settlement up a quarter. July futures 3.59 and 3 quarters, a quarter cent higher. September corn at 3.68 and a half, up a quarter. Into the harvest month, December futures 3.80 and 3 quarters, up a half. April crude $1.50 higher. Ethanol is down $0.01 and 8 cents, and the RBOB gasoline is 3 and 3 tenths higher on the hour. March futures in the soybean pit trading at 8.63 on their final settlement price at 14.5 cents higher. The May at 8.53 and a half, up 9.5. And July beans at 8.51 and a quarter, up 4 and 3 quarters for the afternoon. August soybeans up 0.75 cents at 8.34 and a quarter. November's at 7.91 and a quarter, settled 1 penny and 3 quarters lower. March bean meal at $2.71.70, $3.90 higher. March bean oil up 9 cents at $30.19. April live cattle from the CME Group's livestock side, 84.22 and a half, 27.5 cents higher. March feeder cattle at 91.97 and a half, up 52.5 cents. And the April lean hogs at $60.85. up 57.5 cents. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures are $1.50 higher a barrel at $41.65. That is the settlement price. May at $43.91, up $1.46 for the day. Ethanol at $1.49 and 2 tenths, down 1 and 8 tenths. Natural gas at $4.29 and a half, 14 and 3 tenths higher. RBOB gasoline at $1.31 and 7 tenths, up 3 and a tenth of a cent. The heating oil, diesel fuel, 3 and a tenth of a cent higher at $1.18 and 3 tenths. And propane futures are down 3 and 4 tenths of a cent at $61 and 3 tenths of a cent. Gold futures at $912.90, down $26.10. The Dow at 68.22, just about 58 points higher. And the U.S. dollar, currently trading at 88.91, is down 0.05 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like tonight. Calling for partly to mostly cloudy skies, according to our own Mike Sola. He says lows will range between 15 in eastern Indiana to 30 in the western parts of Illinois. Tomorrow, Mike says, in northern Illinois should be partly to mostly cloudy. Elsewhere, mostly sunny. Highs will range from near 40 in northern Indiana to 57 in southwestern Illinois. The extended forecast says insignificant. That's insignificant showers are possible throughout the two-state area during the second half of this work week. A more vigorous system should bring more widespread and heavier rain on Sunday. That'll be followed up by a storm system that should bring another chance of substantial rain to the area toward the middle of next week. And then a warming trend will begin with mild conditions for the region through the weekend. Near average temperatures early next week will be followed by a return to below average temperatures into the middle and second half of that week. You're listening to WILL AM 580.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Learned Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Asgrow's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Learned Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's Tuesday afternoon. Time to check the agricultural futures markets. Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana, joined us. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Why, good afternoon, Todd.
There was some commercial buying in the soybeans today. What was the reason behind that when the rest of the marketplace just seemed to follow what was happening in the Dow Jones Industrial Average?
Well, it seems that there's fear that Argentina might not be able to resolve its tax differences with the farmers. At a meeting later today, they're talking about forming a National Argentine Grain Board, which is likely to really upset the farmers down there. There's a producer-seller strike would probably happen immediately, and the importers have been staying away from Argentina, but this would make sure that they would probably be some problems there, and they would not consider them an adequate source of beans. And now the way the Brazilian soy base level has been rising up the last few days, and it's about back to where we're very competitive with the Brazilian beans right now. So it looks like there could be a shortage of old crop beans in the near future because farmers aren't moving much. We're seeing in some cases where some of the processors that are paying 20 to 25 over for beans now and still very slow movement, not jarring much loose in the farmers' hands.
Did I read correctly that the bulk of the buying, at least to begin with, was in the May contract?
It was. I mean, basically, we were staying away from the March, of course, because we're in delivery. But the fact of the matter is it's wanting to stay in the May mainly and then a little bit in the July also. But that's why we saw the big differential between that and the fall price beans, Todd.
Tell me about the Dow Jones Industrial Average and its impact.
Oh, I'll tell you. You know, the last few days where you talked about if it didn't hold 7,000, it's going to be heavy. It's going to run on down maybe as low as 6,000. And, of course, yesterday we substantially broke through that, and that's created 7,000 as a resistance point in the Dow. And it just seems like the economic world is not feeling these stimulus packages are going to work. And that is one of the big things. We need to get a little confidence there. Fed Chairman Bernanke started to speak today, and equity prices declined, and the grains followed right along with it. We've got to get some stabilization in the crude oil and also in the Dow Jones to get these markets to stabilize and then rally a little bit, Todd. I think basically, fundamentally, we feel we're below levels where we should be in the grains, but the economic situation doesn't bring anybody back into the markets right now.
The economic situation. Let me talk a little bit about the stimulus package with you, and I don't know how well-versed you or I will be on this, but I think it's worth discussing just a bit. Wall Street has not liked the stimulus package, I think probably because it comes along with many strings and regulations. But I'm wondering whether Main Street would be happier with it, and if there's some idea that we can discount what's happening with the Dow Jones Industrial Average simply on their discord, I suppose, with the Obama administration and the stimulus package, and whether, and on the other flip side of that, do you think that the package might have more impact than Wall Street believes?
Well, I sure hope so. I mean, and as far as the strings attached, by God, we should have put more strings in the first part of the stimulus package. It didn't do what it was intended to do. The banks just took the money and kept it. And if we're going to be giving our taxpayer money, I would sort of like to see it be watched, have the transparency. Isn't this the same Wall Street that got us in a lot of these troubles? Because there wasn't transparency, because they weren't being watched and regulated. So, I guess along the way I'm going to throw in that part doesn't bother me if that's the part they don't like. But we need to see job creation. We need to see something that comes along and gets people back to working that gives them confidence, because people that are scared they're losing their jobs or have lost their jobs just don't spend money.
And now let's turn on the other dime on this one, which is the computer-generated trading. What kind of moves do you see in the Dow Jones Industrial Average, and will the grains and oilseeds continue to walk along with it?
Well, I think we're seeing it here, at least on levels here. When we get down to, say, $3, is it going to quit following the Dow as much and just say, hey, here we are with some stability. You know, what levels are those that that stability comes in, Todd? And that's a big question mark, I mean, along the way. But we are hearing a lot of people that do feel that if this Dow drops a lot more, that they're going to stick some money in there. And we haven't heard that for quite a while. And we're hearing that from a lot of our customers. They call in and say, you know, if it gets just this much lower, why, I think I'm going to, you know, move over and do a little buying in the stock market or doing some stuff, and feeling that at that point in time, we feel that the government will be able to do something or figure out something that does stabilize the stock market. We've got way too many retired people whose net worth has dropped in half here, and the government can't afford to supplement all these people. They're going to need to look at some way to strengthen this market.
I would be amiss if I didn't ask you about crop insurance and risk management, because we're in the midst of that. 404 for corn, 880 for soybeans. What are most producers talking to you about as they're looking at their risk management and crop insurance decisions?
I think it's very evident that this year they're going to be looking at the revenue policies, Todd. And, you know, as we've talked and said many times, I think that as you look at these levels, they aren't great levels, but they can ensure that you come back and farm next year. And the government subsidy levels on the enterprise units have done quite well and have made it affordable. And I think that compared to the prices and puts now, that this is a way that a lot of people, I really feel they need to be going and probably insuring at the higher levels just to sort of put some artificial puts underneath this market.
CRC and RA in that case?
Yes, CRC and RA, and depending on after they've changed the rules, so there's not quite, or the before CRC had the $1.50 limit on corn and $3 on beans, and because of the new rules this year, CRC is very comfortable to RA as far as the harvest option goes. So you need to look at which one's cheaper, and in our cases over in our area, the CRC has been cheaper.
I think I talked to Gary Schnitke this morning, and my plan, at least at this point, is to run that interview flat on Thursday of this week, if you want to hear that. He talks about crop insurance. And then next Tuesday, when you and I are together over at the Beef House, I'll be actually back for the program in the afternoon, but I'll need to have something to fill a lot of that time. And so I'll rerun that crop insurance. And Gary this morning talked actually about the GRIP program being pretty important this year, too, for those who were stressed financially, that they might want to actually continue to consider that GRIP program as one of their risk management tools.
Well, I mean, the GRIP program, you know, with some of the 1.5 multipliers, with everything considered with it, is generally, if it hits in your area, is a very, it's a bigger payer. It pays, on average, a little more at times. But it can, remember, that's a county-generated price. So depending on the individual situation, it can pay more. And I know that Gary's very favorable towards that. You know, like I say, in each individual situation, why different things work different ways. And, you know, like I say, so I think we aren't going to say the GRIP is not a good policy. We're going to say it might not be for everybody.
It's okay for you to disagree, and he didn't think it was for everybody either. We'll let him talk about it on Thursday.
Oh, yeah, and he does a wonderful job. And the research that him and his staff have done on crop insurance and Farm Doc is tremendous.
Thanks much, and we'll let him talk to us on Thursday of this week on the radio, Tuesday next week on the radio again with the same program, and he'll be over the All-Day Ag Outlook meeting with us on Tuesday at the Beef House, too, as well you will be.
We will be, and we'll be looking forward to seeing lots of our friends.
Okay, thanks much.
Thank you.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Happens on Tuesday afternoons.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities, hosting planning seminars at 6:30 p.m. Tuesday, March 3rd in Watseka, Illinois, and at 3 p.m. Wednesday, March 4th in Terre Haute, Indiana. More information is available at 866-837-9027.
Agriculture news. A key European Union trade panel today approved temporary anti-dumping and anti-subsidy duties on imports of biodiesel from the United States. For March 13th, U.S. firms exporting biodiesel into the EU will have to pay additional tariffs for an initial 6 months, ranging from 26 euros, that's $32.88, to 41 euros per 100 kg. Archer Daniels Midland will face duties of 26 euros, Cargill 27 euros, and World Energy Alternatives 29 euros. Most other U.S. biodiesel companies exporting to Europe will pay 41 euros per 100 kg. Brazil is asking the World Trade Organization to approve $2.5 billion in sanctions against the U.S. in a dispute over cotton subsidies. The request was lodged at a meeting of the World Trade Organization's dispute settlement body in Geneva. Last June, a WTO panel upheld a Brazilian complaint that the U.S. had breached trade rules over its subsidies for cotton farmers. Brazil first brought the case to the trade bloc in 2002. Senator Byron Dorgan, a Democrat from North Dakota, on Monday did an about-face and joined the chorus of congressional farm leaders who oppose President Barack Obama's proposal to eliminate direct payments to farmers with more than $500,000 in annual sales. Last Thursday, Dorgan issued a news release that indicated he was supporting Obama's proposal. Yesterday, Dorgan backtracked, saying he is not supporting the direct payments plan, in part because farmers would come in and out of the program based on whether they had $500,000 in gross sales or not in any given year. Three former U.S. trade officials are urging finance ministers from the group of G20 nations to provide concrete steps they plan to employ to assure that protectionist sentiments in their countries are not allowed a free rein. Former U.S. Trade Representative Carla Hills recommended that during the G20's scheduled meeting next month in London, members should announce specific steps to combat creeping protectionistic moves around the world. The G20, says Hills, should issue a strong agreed statement followed by concrete action. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming at WILL. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Mark Report and Commodity Week, both of which you can find on our website at willag.org. You can also sign up for our weekend newsletter. Just hit subscribe on the right-hand side of the page and find all the information about our Tuesday, March 10th, all-day Ag Outlook meeting. It starts early in the morning, runs all day long, should be a great program. More on that one later. You can find out anytime you'd like, though, at willag.org. Just look for our all-day Ag Outlook. Now up next, the Ag Economists here on the U of I campus have gone back and put the Acre program into play over the past several years to see how it's paid out historically. The numbers suggest, as you'll hear, because soybean yields are more consistent than corn yields, Acre makes more payments on corn. It means a farmer wanting to test the Acre program this year should look for a unit that is all, or for the most part, planted to corn.
Historically, Gary Snitke's done a nice job of looking at, historically, if we'd had an Acre program, how often would the state-level trigger have been reached? And it appears that we reach that more often on corn than we would on soybeans, primarily because soybean yields are a little more consistent than corn yields. So we'll hit problems on corn yields more often than we do on state average soybean yields. So if you say if you're going to try it on one farm or another, the problem is you can't do it on the same farm. You can't do corn in one program and soybeans in a different program. You can't do Acre and traditional on different crops on the same farm. But if you had a farm, say a small farm that was going to be all corn this year, you could do Acre on that and a traditional program on your other farms.
What Daryl Good and anybody else that asks hears in the countryside is, I'm going to wait until next year to enroll. Some of this has to do with the uncertainty of the new program, but it seems most of the wait-and-see attitude results from the amount of paperwork it takes to enroll an Acre. Good says that paperwork is quite likely to be worth more money this year than it is in the next year, and the following year, and probably the year after that.
Frankly, it looks to me like because we're starting with such a high price level on the state-level guarantee, that if this program is going to trigger a payment anytime soon, it's most likely to occur in 2009 than in subsequent years.
This is because the 09 guarantee looks like it will be higher than the following years. Remember, the countercyclical payment is based in part on a rolling two-year average. Daryl Good's colleague at the University of Illinois further explains why 09 looks better than the outlying years. Here's Nick Paulson.
Yeah, that's correct. So every year, so for 09, like I said, let's just assume that the revenue guarantee for 09 ends up being $600 per acre on corn acres. Right now, that means that the price component of that guarantee would be about $4. The yield component would be about 170 bushels. And then you're guaranteed 90% of the product of those two. So that's about $600. What that means then for 2010 is that the revenue guarantee cannot be any more than $660, and it can't be any lower than $540. Okay, so every year, it is a rolling average, but there's a limit on the movement in that guarantee. So if prices move up or down a little bit over the next year, that revenue guarantee can change, but there's a limit on how much it can change, and that limit is 10% from the previous year's guarantee.
The question for the farmer then is twofold. First, how likely is the two-year price average coming into 2010, 2011, 2012, and on out to be greater than the average coming into 2009? The second is, should some of my farm units be enrolled into the ACRE program? For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report on a Tuesday afternoon from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. The director of Ag Programming at our home radio station here at the CMR now joins us in studio. Dave Dickey is with us. Good afternoon to you, Dave.
Thank you very much, Todd. Good to be here.
Hey, next Tuesday, we'll be over at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. You've been working very hard to put together a great lineup. What are some of the highlights?
Well, we're calling it the changing paradigm of farming, Todd, and we're doing that because in the time that I've done this job, it seems to me more than ever before, producers are going to have to be especially nimble on their feet if they're going to protect the downside risk to their crops and potentially make a profit. And with that in mind, we're bringing in a bunch of people that are a little bit different than our usual fare. Glenn Ring of Glenn Ring Enterprises will be there. Perry Dixon, who is the chief economist from ADM Corporate, will be there. We have the chief executive officer and chairman of the Westchester Group, Murray Wise. He'll be talking about land values. We're going to bring in a banking view. So we're going to merge a bunch of things that we normally have not thought about at these meetings in the past.
Tell me more about the reason that you chose Perry Dixon, for instance.
He is one of the foremost experts in the nation when it comes to looking at world fundamentals and how they all fit together to come up with prices and economics for corn, beans, and all the kinds of crops that he looks at.
We've got about 45 seconds. What time does it start? How much does it cost?
It's $16, and that's real cheap. It includes a light continental breakfast and a lunch buffet. It begins at 8:15 a.m. with registration. That's Eastern Time, 7:15 a.m. Central for registration.
All right. Thanks much. That's Dave Dickey. He is the Director of Agricultural Programming here at the home radio station for the Closing Mark Report. In 2 minutes, we'll talk with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Stay with us.
It's National Mulled Wine Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1709, Andreas Margraf was born. A German chemist in 1747, he extracted sugar from the sugar beet and determined it was identical to cane sugar. But it was not for almost another century, in 1802, that the first beet sugar refinery would be built. In 1797, the first patent for a washing machine was issued to Nathaniel Briggs. In 1879, Elmer McCollum was born, an American biochemist. He originated the letter system of naming vitamins. He discovered vitamins A and B, and he worked with others on vitamin D. He also researched how certain minerals were important as nutrients, including calcium, phosphorus, manganese, and zinc. Also in 1879, the U.S. Geological Survey was founded by an act of Congress to classify public lands, their geological structures, mineral resources, and products. The first survey, actually funded by Congress, came some 50 years earlier, examining the land between the Missouri and Red Rivers. And in 1892, the first tuberculosis test on cattle in the U.S. was conducted by Dr. Leonard Pearson, the dean of the veterinary department at the University of Pennsylvania. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. Time to check the agricultural weather forecast. Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming joins us. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon, Todd.
How about the weather here in the Midwest? What can we expect?
Well, we're going to be able to see some moderating temperatures here in the short term. The recent spell of colder, wintry weather has now moved off the East Coast, and there's a lot of warm air building out in the Western High Plains, the desert Southwest, that will be forced eastward as we get to the end of the week and into the start of the weekend. So we're going to see our temperatures rebound. Now, as we get on into that warmer temperature pattern, there is going to be some moisture associated with it, especially this in the next 5 to 7 days, late in the weekend and early next week, is what I would call a pretty typical March weather pattern is going to develop across the lower 48 states. A fairly active weather pattern with a couple of storms hitting the West Coast, the Pacific Northwest, and marching across the U.S.
And other parts of the nation that we should be concerned about? I assume we're still worried about the hard red winter wheat crop and some need for moisture.
Yeah, and that is really a real problem. And every time it looks like it may get a little bit better, that there might be some chances for moisture, they just seem to get missed out. Now, there is another opportunity next week for some of the southern plains to get moisture. I think areas such as Oklahoma and Kansas, Colorado have the best bet. I'm still concerned about central and west Texas and some areas of those southern plains still being quite dry and warmer than normal.
And just because we're in the month of March, March 20th, by the way, is the vernal equinox, isn't it? So we're moving towards spring.
We really are. Those days are getting longer, that sun angle higher, but this also means the time of year when we have a lot of contrast. Still, lots of cold air found in those high northern latitudes while it's getting warmer in the southern latitudes. And that collision of air masses tends to lead to wild and woolly weather here over the next 8 to 12 weeks.
And we'll keep tabs on that with all of our meteorologists, including you. Can you catch us up on what's been happening around the globe that we should be watching?
Well, it's gotten a little more wet in some areas. China has seen an increase in precipitation. They're expecting more stormy weather here over the next week to 10 days. Actually, there is some rain in the forecast from portions of Argentina and southern Brazil. Australia, while it has cooled down a little bit, they're still drier than normal, still fighting the drought and the fire situation there. Europe, going to be wet.
Okay, thanks much.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Happens on Tuesday afternoons.
Hi, this is AM 580 Agriculture Director Dave Dickey. We hope you join us at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana on March 10th for the 2009 All-Day Ag Outlook Meeting. Our lineup is stellar. It includes Glenn Ring of Glenn Ring Enterprises, ADM Chief Economist Perry Dixon, Westchester CEO Murray Wise, Bob Bastifer of First Midwest Bank, University of Illinois Agricultural Economist Gary Schnicke, and WILL Meteorologist Ed Kieser. Full details are on our website at WILLAG.org. Thanks to these agribusinesses for helping to support this year's meeting. The Andersons, AgriGold Hybrids, ADM Investment Services, and L&M Commodities.
The All-Day Ag Outlook meeting kicks off at 7:15 Central, 8:15 a.m. with registration. Remember, the meeting's free, but if you want to stay for the meal, that's a $16 at the door, and you'll be able to charge that to your credit card. Bring cash if you can. That's over at the Beef House, just off Exit 4 in Covington, Indiana. Have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.